Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is reading an audio of the issue, What is Missing? My website is authorityresearch.com. My email is deangocher@gmail.com. What is missing? What is missing in the family today? What is missing in the classroom today? What is missing in the workplace today? What is missing in government today? What is missing in the church today? What is missing in Bloom's taxonomies? As I've stated in prior presentations and writings, Bloom's taxonomies, every teacher in your community is certified upon their use of them in the classroom. Every school is accredited based upon their use of them in the classroom. What is missing in Bloom's taxonomies? In Lawrence Kohlberg's dilemma questions? In Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs? In contemporary education and society? What is missing is the father's authority. It is negated, that is, deliberately left out, hated. This is what those of the Russian Revolution and the French, Chinese, and all the socialist revolutions advocated. Lenin's speech, his left-wing communism, and infantile disorder in essential conditions of the Bolshevik success, May 12, 1920. He stated, the peasantry, and by the way, that's the traditional family, constantly regenerates the bourgeoisie. What's the bourgeoisie? The father's authority system. Positively, every sphere of activity in life. We must learn how to eradicate all bourgeoisie habits, customs, and traditions everywhere. Millions died and continue to die because of this ideology, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous. This has now become the mindset of those in positions of authority in America, making dialogue the means to knowing right and wrong behavior, instead of turning to God's Word, that is, discussion, with God's Word or God having the final say. As Karl Marx based his ideology off of Heraclitus, quote, every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys. So America does today, including the fathers, acting as children, lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, instead of doing the father's will. This is done in defiance to the father's authority, that is, to God and his word, which should be read and applied to their heart every day. Quote, but he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. There is no fear of God before his eyes. God is not in all his thoughts. Psalms 36:14, 10, 3, and 4. 1 John 2:16. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It is the Father who authors, commands, rules, facts, and truth to be obeyed as given, or to be accepted as is, and applied, and who enforces them, holding those under his authority accountable for their thoughts and actions. When they do wrong, disobey, sin, That is, when they lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment, that the world, that the current situation and or object, people or person is stimulating, instead of humbling, dying to, denying, disciplining, capitulating their self, denying their lusts, that is their self-interests, in order to do right and not wrong according to what the Father has said, what the Father has told them or commanded, that is, in order to do the Father's will. While the earthly father is born into sin, and the heavenly Father is holy, both carry the same authority system, known as a paradigm, requiring those under their authority to do right and not wrong according to their established commands, rules, facts, and truth. While the earthly father can be wrong, the right-wrong way of thinking or paradigm remains in place, as those under his authority know he is wrong. Remove or negate his authority system or paradigm, and wrong is negated, making that which is wrong, that is lust, right, and that which is right, the Father's authority that gets in the way of lust, wrong. A paradigm is the way a person feels, thinks, and acts toward their self, others, the world, and authority, with those of the patriarchal paradigm doing the Father's will. Those of the matriarchal paradigm, when they, still accepting the Father's authority, do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust, having a guilty conscience. And those of the heresiarchal paradigm, of change, denying the Father's authority, doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, that is lusting, without having a guilty conscience. Without the Father, that is, the Father's authority system, there is no inheritance, posterity, history, tradition, unalienable rights, sovereignty, representation, that is, representative government, limited government, local control, culture, heritage, absolutes, that's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, guilty conscience for sinning, private convictions, private property and private business, limits and measures, being wrong, humbling, denying, dying to, disciplining, controlling of self, contrition, repentance, forgiveness, salvation, conversion, redemption and reconciliation for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, fellowship, and so forth. They're all missing. They're all negated. Without the Father, the Father's authority system, that is law, there is no sin. Therefore, no disobedience. Without sin, there is no need of a Savior. That is, no need for repentance, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. The current generation, never having been under a king, that is, subject to a Lord, which is represented by the Father's authority in the home, which is recognized and protected by the Bill of Rights. Father in authority in the home, where individualism under God is represented, are subject to the spirit of Antichrist, where they can lust without having a guilty conscience. In a world that will not judge, condemn, cast them out for their wicked thoughts and wicked actions, thereby having no need of a Savior. 1 John 2:22, He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Karl Marx, in Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, laws must not fetter human nature, that is, inhibit or block lust, but yield to it. They must change as the needs, that is, the lusts, and capacities, that is, interest, attractions to lust, of the people change. Romans 7:7 states, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. When God created man, he did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He made him a living soul. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He then did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He told him what was right and what was wrong behavior, and the consequence for disobedience. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Only man can be told or tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior. Only man can read or write a book. All the rest of the creation is based upon stimulus response. For living organisms, approach pleasure and avoid pain. The gospel message is all about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, doing the Father's will, that is, doing what he was told, even dying on the cross by his shed blood covering our sins as a propitiation, doing so in obedience to the Father. Matthew 26:42. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Asking all to follow him, doing the Father's will as he leads. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Lord himself stated, John 5:3, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John 12:47-50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. This defines the Son of God. Matthew 12:50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 23:9. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. It was the acceptance of and obedience towards the Father's authority, system or paradigm, that was required of two children in the Garden of Eden, that was represented in Noah, with only his family entering the ark, obeying. That is, children denied, building a tower, society, instead of doing as God commanded, scattering, having to depend upon the Father. That Abraham honored, who God called a friend. That Israel was supposed to honor. That the Son of God came to make the way to, that the Protestant Reformation advocated, putting no man between you and God, putting no man, object, or institution between you and the Heavenly Father and his Son Jesus Christ, called the priesthood of all believers, that influenced the American Revolution and the Constitution with its Bill of Rights that followed, making the Father in the home the King, recognizing his God-given freedom of conviction, religion, speech, property, and business under God, which the government is not to infringe, that is, usurp, which is now but all disappeared, abdicated, with lust, dialogue having taken his place. For example, the liberal judge uses dialogue, that is, his opinion, that is, how he feels or what he thinks in the moment to interpret the Constitution, while the conservative judge uses discussion, weighing his decision on what the Constitution says, that is, the intent of the framers. Now, the Father and his authority has been replaced with facilitators of change, making those under their authority children of disobedience, instead of children of obedience, doing God the Father's will. What about the husband in the family? While both the husband and wife build relationship with one another via dialogue, it is their personal fellowshipping with the Lord. Discussion is a part of their life, with the wife being subject to the husband's authority, politically incorrect according to Satan's government system, turning to her husband via discussion if she has any question regarding God's word, with God's word having precedent over all. When it comes to behavior, the husband-wife, quote, partnership, was put into practice in the Garden in Eden, with Satan's help, as the woman and her husband united as one in defiance to God and his word. Focusing on the family via dialogue instead of the father via discussion negates the father's authority in the family, despite what anyone might say, its intended purpose. You can deny it all you want, but you cannot refute it. There is no top-down authority in dialogue. Genesis 2, 23 and 24. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." 1 Corinthians 7, 4. The wife hath no power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath no power over his own body, but the wife. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. 1 Corinthians 7, 14 and 16. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shouldst save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? 1 Corinthians 7:11. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put his wife away. 1 Corinthians 7:39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Romans 7:3. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no longer adulteress, though she be married to another man. While losing a mother or father, brother or sister in death is painful. No one knows what it's like to lose a spouse, except someone who has lost a spouse. When two become one, the losing of the one is deeper than words can describe, if they truly loved one another. Language is represented here as discussion always makes you subject to the father's authority. That is, the father has the final say. Because I said so, it is written, thy will be done. While in dialogue, we are all equal. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. God's command to Adam could only be responded to by obedience, and if there was any question, it was to be made by discussion, with God having the final say, which Jesus Christ responded with in the temptations in the wilderness, that is, it is written, or Dad says. Adam could not dialogue with God, as dialogue would make him equal. Yet, being made from the dust of the ground, he still had this urge to dialogue, which no animal in the creation could do, that is, satisfy, with God creating the woman to fulfill or satisfy that part of man, with her being the weaker vessel, having to have discussion with him and with God regarding right and wrong behavior, with God taking precedent over all. It was when the woman, instead of turning to Adam under God with discussion, regarding her lust, used dialogue with the facilitator of change helping her in the realm of God's thou shalt not. She justified her lust, making herself God with Adam following after her, the dialogue part of him usurping discussion with God stating, they have become like us, except they're making right and wrong subject to their lusts, that is, through dialogue, that is, in an opinion, instead of subject to what God says, that is, his word, where only discussion is allowed, with God and his word having the final say. When it comes to the word of God, the moment the fellowship goes to dialogue, that is, I feel and I think, instead of discussion, that is, it is written, weighing the word of God with the word of God, that is, rightly dividing the word of God, not adding or taking away from it, as dialogue does, it becomes apostate, making man the arbiter of God's word instead of God. In discussion, God is God. In dialogue, man is God. The soul knows by being told via preaching, teaching, and discussion. The flesh knows by sense experience, that is, dialogue. All the facilitator of change has to do in a positive environment, in an environment which will not judge, condemn, or cast you out for lusting after pleasure or for being wrong, is ask you how you feel and what you think regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth you have been taught that get in the way of your carnal desires, especially when it comes to behavior and the facilitator of change owns you. This applies to all who participate in the facilitated dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. It is deceitful because it thinks pleasure or lust is the standard for good instead of doing the Father's will. Quote, and desperately wicked, unquote. That is, hating anyone preventing or inhibiting or blocking it from enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment it's lusting after. Hating anyone threatening to take or taking lust away. Who can know it? The unregenerate heart, the carnal heart, the carnal marks in you, the carnal marks in your child, cannot see its hatred towards the Father's authority as being evil, that is wicked, that is desperately wicked, because its lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the hate. Mark 7:21-23. Karl Marx described the human heart, his heart, this way. Not feeling at home in a sinful world, critical criticism. That's what dialogue is, which is subject to the human carnal heart, must set up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic lord, pure spontaneity, actus purus, intolerant of any influence from without. Karl Marx, the Holy Family. Criticism is now simply a means. What he's saying is, immoral people are being fired in a world of immoral people because all are sinners. So who gives the right to a man to fire somebody because of their immoral behavior? And so man has to find an environment where he can practice immorality without being judged, condemned, or cast out. And that is in dialogue. Have you ever been upset with someone and murmured about what they did, and also talk to you about what you wanted? Well, that's critical criticism. And if you push it far enough, it's put into action. That's why the heart is desperately wicked. Criticism is now simply a means. Indignation is its essential pathos. This is Marx. Denunciation is principal task. Criticism is criticism in hand-to-hand combat. Criticism proceeds on to praxis. That's simply action. The critique of religion, which is hatred towards the Father's authority, ends with a categorical imperative to overthrow all conditions in which man is debased, enslaved, neglected, contemptible being. And what he means by that is being called a sinner, thus being judged, condemned, cast out for his carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. Luke 16:15. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Building relationship upon self-interest is the hallmark of Marxism. It is a sad day when you have to explain Marxism in order to explain what is happening in the world around you today. Karl Marx, in Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, wrote, To enjoy the present reconciles to the actual. In other words, according to Karl Marx, it is lust, enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment that the situation or object, people, or person is stimulating, that makes us at one with the world, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority that gets in the way. Self is therefore actualized in lust, not in doing the Father's will. Karl Marx, in Thesis on Feuerbach number 6, the real nature of man is a totality of social relations. Karl Marx in John Lewis, The Life and Teachings of Karl Marx, it is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is a necessary framework through which freedom and individuality are made realities. In other words, according to Karl Marx, the child having to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate his self in order to do the Father's will is not what fulfills the child, that is, his lust. On the contrary, it is the Father's authority, the child having to do right and not wrong according to the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that, quote, destroys him. That is, that prevents him from becoming himself, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature. That is, according to what he has in common with all the children of the world. The child's desire for approval from others, requiring him to compromise in order to get along, in order to build relationship, quote, is the necessary framework through which freedom, unquote, from the Father's authority and freedom to lust after pleasure, that is, to do what he wants without having a guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders. These are then made reality. Norman O. Brown in Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. The individual is emancipated in the social group. Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all the participants could the sense of guilt be assuaged. Self-perfection of the human individual is fulfilled in union with the world in pleasure. According to Freud, the ultimate essence of our being is erotic. Eros is fundamentally a desire for union with objects in the world. Eros is the foundation of morality. According to Sigmund Freud, the guilty conscience is the product of the Father's authority, which sustains the Father's authority in society. It is only in the social group, which requires compromise, that the guilty conscience can be negated. According to the Marxist Norman Brown, without the social group, the child and the society remain subject to the Father's authority. Therefore, the child and society can only be liberated from the Father's authority and the guilty conscience, which the Father's authority engenders, in the social group, which justifies the child's carnal nature. That is eros, that is lust. Kurt Lewin in Resolving Social Conflicts, Selected Papers on Group Dynamics. The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perception, his feelings, and his actions. Kurt Lewin in Kenneth Benet's book, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. Why is there a focus on the group? Is because the father may have 5, 6, 7, 8 children, but he treats each one individually. Individualism, the structure, individualism under God, the closest representation of that is in the family. Anything beyond the family requires compromise. So that's the significance of the group, the pressure of the group, because the father requires no compromise. The group requires compromise. To get along with society, you have to compromise. To get along with the father, you do not compromise. The difference between discussion, where the father has the final say, no compromise, and dialogue, where everybody compromises for the sake of getting along. This is why the language is so important. Kurt Lewin and Wilbert Brookover, A Sociology of Education. The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group. See, if the father is the head of the home, the children learn a patriarchal paradigm. They learn to do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth. But if you bring a facilitator in, now the focus is on the group. It's on compromise. It's on being positive feelings and not negative, the father's authority, which gets in the way of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You understand why we start with all this of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life? That's all the world, everything around you. That's its mantra. Nothing else but it. And apart from the Father revealing himself to us through his word, that's all we have. And so the world has chosen to go to dialogue, which is only of the world, and rejected discussion in the light of God's word. Now, you can have a discussion with the world, and you're just bound to the world. But God requires us to have discussion with him having the final say. Accountability to a higher authority guides our thoughts and our actions. So by changing the leadership in the front of the room, and people think, well, we'll just come in and we'll try to shape the outcome in our direction. If that facilitator of change is up in front of the room, if he's behind the pulpit, you can't win. That is a wolf in sheepskin. He will guarantee his outcome of compromise, of dialogue. Can't we all just get along? The master facilitator of change talked two children into thinking for themselves, rejecting God's authority, going to dialogue, rejecting discussion, where they would have to have gone to the Father for information and for direction. Barker, Dembo, and Lewin. And see, ministers, when they go this, they don't take you to the Word of God. They take you to everybody's opinion of the Word of God. How do you feel? What do you think? That makes you God. And you're breaking the first commandment. The moment you go, I feel and I think to the Word of God, you are God next to God. And God says, he will share his glory with no one. How dare you? You wonder how a conservative church can go, or a fellowship can go apostate? It's in the language. It's how it approaches God. With fear and trembling, discussion, or with arrogance, dialogue. Barker, Dembo, and Lewin, in Frustration or Aggression, experiment with young children in child behavior and development. Change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of the culture of a group is therefore interwoven with a change of the power constellation within the group. If we look at paradigms, Genesis 3, 1 through 6 was a heresiarchical paradigm. When God told Adam what he could and couldn't do was a patriarchal paradigm. Who you're going to for direction? Cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes the flesh his arm of strength. Blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. Karl Marx in Feuerbach Thesis number 4. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must then itself be destroyed. Vernichtet, that's annihilated or negated, most caustic word you can use in the German, in theory and in practice, or theoretically and practically. Karl Marx wrote 11 theses on Feuerbach. You see, Lenin's speech, we have to destroy the father's authority in the home. There is no other agenda. If you want worldly peace and socialist harmony, you've got to get rid of the father's authority in the home. That's psychology. Psychology is I feel and I think. While the heavenly father is holy and the earthly father is born into sin, both have the same authority system, preaching commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaching facts and truth to be accepted as is, at first at least by faith, and applied, discussing with those under his authority any questions they might have regarding his commands, rules, facts, and truth. Providing he deems it necessary, he has time, those under his authority are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking his authority. Rewarding those who do right and obey, correcting and or chastening those who do wrong or disobey, that they might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate themselves in order to do right and not wrong, according to the established commands, rules, and facts and truth they have been taught, that they've been told. That is, in order to do the Father's will. And casting out, expelling, grounding those who question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack his authority, which retains a father's authority system in the child or man's thoughts, directly affecting his actions, resulting in those under the father's authority knowing right from wrong, from being told, especially when it comes to behavior. It is the guilty conscience which is engendered by the father's authority that sustains the father's authority in the child and in society. The guilty conscience, now this is Norman O'Brown, Life Against Death. This is a Marxist definition of the guilty conscience. The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be the father of oneself. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects, now part of ourselves. They don't recognize God, therefore they don't recognize a living God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so the laws and rules he gave us in the past, we're going to run into them in the future. Dr. Jovanovitz, The Meaning of Community and Community Policing. Now, he developed the COPS program, which is simply a communist socialist structure, which is out to destroy the father's authority in the home. You cannot have socialism, fascism, Marxism, it doesn't matter what. You cannot have the group with the father's authority in control of the individual's mind. Quote, the personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control, refraining from deviant behavior. See, that's compromise. Even when it can be easily perpetrated. The family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. Wonderful! And then he says we must use crime to bring the community together, have them dialogue their opinions to a consensus, and destroy the father's authority in the home for the sake of one world system. You have to get rid of the father's authority in the home. This is the Manhattan Project on steroids. Everybody's going after organizations and institutions. And every day these classes meet with Bloom's taxonomy being used in the classroom with the group braid, destroying the father's authority in the hearts of the children, doing exactly the same pattern that we find in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. There is no father's authority. That is judgment, condemnation, fear of being cast out in dialogue. Therefore, using dialogue to establish right and wrong behavior negates not only the father's authority, it negates the guilty conscience as well. Kurt Lewin, in A Dynamic Theory of Personality, two sentences. One explains the conscience, how it's developed, and the second one, how to destroy the guilty conscience. First, the negative valence of a forbidden object which in itself attracts the child. That's a guilty conscience. There's something you want to touch, but you've been told you cannot do it. And so you have this tension, this negative valence. Then he says, usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. Adam, you can eat all these trees, but you cannot eat of that tree. That tree, see, what's a restraining force? If you eat of it, you're going to die. So you better obey me. So there's this induced field of force of an adult. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, if the adult goes away or loses its authority, oh, you won't die. Oh, let's have no put downs. Let's not be judgmental, condemning, casting anyone out. Everybody can share how they feel, what they think. Let's be positive, not negative. And you're practicing the very same thing the serpent in the garden practiced with the woman and with Adam abdicating and following. The very same pattern. No father there. Just master facilitator of change. I hope you understand. Minister gets up behind the pulpit and he says, I'm here to facilitate change. He is a wolf in a sheepskin and he can preach a whole year of good sermons. That you are actually trained to do that, to gain the trust of the congregation. And then you say, oh, we need to do some changes here. This is an agenda. You can go take training. It's seminary, in administration in the church to do this practice. As teachers, learn it in college to apply it in the classroom. It's the same pattern, whether it's in TQM, in corporate America, in government, with the consensus meetings of politicians. While the guilty conscience ties the child to the father's authority, or rather the father to the child's, the superego ties the child to society. Bloom's taxonomy, the effective domain, he writes, superego development is conceived as the incorporation of the moral standards of society. Well, is there any set standard? No. It's all subject to change. Can't we all just get along? Therefore, he writes, therefore, the levels of the taxonomy should describe successive levels of goal setting appropriate to superego development. It is the father's authority system itself that Karl Marx was out to negate. He, having denied the heavenly father's authority, all he had to negate was the earthly father's authority, which he believed engendered the heavenly father's authority or religion. Sigmund Freud had the same agenda. In Herbert Marcuse's book, Eros and Civilization, A Psychological Inquiry into Freud, he explains Sigmund Freud, and he quotes him, quote, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, a, quote, barrier to incest, that's what Freud called it, the desire for the sons to return to the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons, the collective killing and devouring of the father. See, the father is the one who comes in and sets the rules. The children are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes of pride of life. It's incest. What's happened to our culture today? Pedophilia. Immorality beyond, it's on steroids in the highest offices of our land. everywhere, even in the church. Total rejection of the Father's authority. No fear of God before their eyes. In fact, there's a hatred against the judgmental people. Here come the judge. Because, and the Father then sees this behavior, he drives them out, their disobedience to him, because he says, stop it. Like God told Adam and Eve, out of here. The children come together, the children of disobedience, of rebellion, the children of the world. They come to a consensus to come back and not only kill the Father, but eat him. And you say, why eat him? Well, if you eat him, there's nothing left. There's no tombstone. No next generation. Who's that over there? Well, that's Dad. Well, what happened? Well, we killed him. Well, why'd you kill him? Because he kept telling us what we could or couldn't do. No, we had to go to the counselor to get rid of that. We just got in a room and went, how do you feel? What do you think regards to his commands? And we negated him. We removed him. He's no longer a part of our mind. We have no guilty conscience in disobeying him. He's irrelevant. He's nothing. That's how you negate the Father. In dialogue, there is no Father's authority. None. Nano. It is not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed if the function of the conflict and its consequences are the same. In other words, the husband or the father no longer exercises his authority in the home over his wife or his children. If the father goes into dialogue, he's equal. There is no father's authority in I feel and I think. And that's where psychology forces you. You can deny this all day long. You cannot refute it. You cannot be a Christian and a psychiatrist. Because psychology requires the negation of the father's authority. Because the father's authority is discussion. God has a final say. I dare say you've never been in a psychological evaluation setting and ever had God's word having the final say. It cannot happen. Sigmund Freud's history of the prodigal son is not of the son coming to his senses, humbling himself, returning home, submitting himself to his father's authority, learning his inheritance was not his father's money, but his father's love for him. Luke 15:11-24. But of the son joining with his friends, returning home, killing the father, taking all that was his, the father's, using it to satisfy their carnal desires, their lusts, killing all the fathers in the land, devouring the fathers through dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? See, if our communication today is, how do you feel? What do you think? There's no father present. There's no fear of God. So all the children could be the same, like them, thereby by affirming them, their incest, justifying and supporting their control over them. Abraham Maslow and Journals of Maslow. Marxian theory needs Freudian type instinct theory to round it out, and of course, vice versa. And you can read the rest. In other words, society needs man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to become one, and man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure needs society's justification. It is in dialogue, which does not recognize the father's authority. That's critical criticism, critical race theory, see. That this comes out of this mindset, that all can become one bypassing the father's authority in making rules, policies, and law, in establishing right and wrong behavior, resulting in lust being right and the father's authority being wrong. Jürgen Habermas, in Knowledge of Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea and Theory of Knowledge of Social Theory, in the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself and the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. In dialogue, we are all equal. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. If the father tells the child they can't go out and the child goes, why? And the father said, okay, let's go into dialogue. In dialogue, they're equal. You're equal with your child. Your child can go out. You can say, well, I don't think you should go out. I don't feel like you can go out. But he goes out and you have no right to chasten him. In dialogue, you have no right to enforce commands, rules, facts, and truth. That's why the Marxists hate, desperately wicked against the father's authority in the home. Spirit of Antichrist. That's what psychology is. Irvin Laszlo, he's the one who worked up the climate change, a whole scenario. Strategy for the future, the system's approach to world order. This is classic statement. This is a summation. Bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. We don't want to confront Dad. We just circumvent him. Making our objective centers upon transforming public opinion. See, the feelings of people into an effective instrument of global politics. So all the polls and surveys, feasibility studies, how do you feel, what do you think, the spectrum. Most agree, agree, disagree, most disagree. That is all in the dialogue realm. Discussion is black and white. Dialogue is gray. Subject to change. And so it's this consensus, the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process. There is no father's authority in the outcome. None. Gone. Individual value. See, that's the Tower of Babel. God said scatter. That means you got... But everybody's dragging you back to the... Everything in the computer is dragging you back to the Tower of Babel. For the sake of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, of pride of life, entertainment, having the good life. Having a better life. Nothing wrong with having a better life. But in the old school, it was to do right and not wrong. If you have a better life and you're doing whatever you feel like doing, that's wrong. If you're doing what's right and not wrong, according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, according to the Father's will, that's fine. But the better life isn't the agenda. It's doing the Father's will. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common lust interest and ultimately to world lust interest. I'm adding lust there. Transforming public consensus, feeling of oneness, into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. No father there. No fear of God there. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. There is no message to your soul, just your flesh rules. It is a precondition of all future steps. Karl Marx in Feuerbach Thesis number 11. He wrote 11 theses on Feuerbach, and this is it. On his tombstone, it's written. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, has changed. See, we have all fathers in the community. They have different standards for their children, so the children don't get along with one another because they're loyal to their father's standards, equated to nations. They don't get along. So they've interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, the consensus process. Dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, which is a Soviet system. What was the Soviet system all about? It was that anything that came into that meeting, the outcome was never subject to a father's authority. The fathers could come in, but whatever policy or rule came out of those meetings, there was no father's authority in it. No, thus saith the Lord in it. In other words, it is a father's authority system. The father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which differ from father to father that divides the people. It is in the child's propensity to respond according, change in accordance to the situation or object, people, or person in the moment, that is, the objective of life. Without the help of the facilitator of change, the church, the children, the nation will remain subject to the Father's authority system. The facilitator of change, i.e. subject to the master facilitator of change, perceives himself as being the personification of the people who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment the world stimulates, hating restraint, seeing it as his duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. Why does the church have all these little groups together? Tennis groups, potato hoeing groups, netting groups. It's to negate God speaking to the individual, the priesthood of all believers. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond, "It is not just about you." Really meaning, and this is the real meaning, there is no other statement coming out of that facilitator of change up in front of you. It's all about me. So I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lust, or get in my way, the people will remove or negate you, since having justified their lust, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good. This is the true meaning of site-based management. Psalms 36, 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity to be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He is left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 10, 3 and 4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, always looking for something new. And they shall turn their ears away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. 2 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that would believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The moment the fellowship goes into I feel and I think dialogue, it is apostate. There is no dialogue before God. Every mouth will be silenced. God has the final say in all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, then he's the one who directs your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.